Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifest through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that you are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Lord, just speak through me today. Give me your word and open our hearts so we can receive from you. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. This is Paul writing again. And I think probably for this passage of Scripture and what's going on, it's kind of necessary to have a little bit of history. I'm not a history buff. I don't really enjoy history, but it's valuable at times to know what the setting is. This is Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy is considered by Paul to be his son in the faith. We don't know exactly when Timothy received the Lord, But speculation is that Paul probably had led him to the Lord somewhere in his early life. He grew up with a mother and a grandmother that were very strong Jewish, good Jewish people that knew the Scriptures well enough to believe Christ when Christ came and were followers. So we have Paul in prison. Now this is the second time that he was put in prison for the gospel. The first time it was not too bad. He expected to be released, which he was. And it was more of a house arrest. He lived in a kind of a place of his own. He was able to witness to the prison guards and to the whole household of the ruler. And it wasn't really a bad time. But this time, Nero is the ruler. Nero hates the Christians. Nero was assumed to be crazy from history. So Nero has Paul arrested, and now he's in prison. He's in chains. This is not a pleasant time. He's not expecting to get released. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, or 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 8, he talks about being ready to be poured out or offered as a sacrifice. He knows he's not gonna make it. He's not gonna come out of this one. It'll be the end. And this is the last letter that's in our Bible that Paul wrote. I don't know if he wrote anything else that wasn't included in the Scriptures, but this is the final writing of Paul that was given to us. So we have this background. Paul's in prison a second time. He's not expecting to be released. He's anticipating being executed. And he's writing to Timothy to encourage Timothy. He says in verses 14 and through 18 how everybody's left him. You know, the first time that he was in prison, he had a lot of visitors, a lot of people came to him and helped him. But now the political environment has gotten so bad that the Christians were afraid. I mean, it was natural that they were cautious and afraid. They didn't want to end up being executed themselves or thrown in prison themselves. So Paul's been kind of abandoned. It does write in here that Luke was with him. But he's writing to Timothy. Timothy was left to take care of one of the churches. I think it was Ephesus, Ephesians. But he's wanting Timothy to come to him, and he's encouraging Timothy not to be afraid, not to be intimidated, but to stand true to the gospel, true to Christ. Even though there's hardship, even though there's danger, to be true to the Savior. Paul is very concerned that the work will go on, that the people will be true and stand true to him. And I came down to verse 12, and that one kind of tripped me up a little bit. Most of Paul's writing is almost a half a chapter long in one sentence, divided by commas frequently. So this is one of them. But it starts out, "Which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." Some of you out there have different Bibles. Read that end of that verse on a different translations and see what they used for the word "me."
You want it read out loud?
Yeah.
What verse?
12.
"That is why I am suffering here in prison, but I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return."
Entrusted to him. Anybody else have a different one?
"That is why I am suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day."
Okay. Is there any other ones that have something different than "him" or "me"? I think that's probably the two main ones. Some of the other translations may have done something different, but when I was looking at that, the Lord just brought that to my attention, that what does this mean? It's got to mean something special. And as I dug into it, they both mean the same thing. It's talking about salvation, about our faith in Christ. We have it. We trust God for our eternal life. We trust God for our eternal destination. We trust Him to take care of us. It's what He has given us. What we give to Him is ourselves. So Paul, facing the end of his life, knowing that before long he'll probably be executed, he says this, that he's confident that whatever I have trusted to God, whatever my trust in God is, will be taken care of. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. Whether we say it and trusted in Him or trusted to me doesn't really matter. It's the same thing. I want to look at Matthew Henry's commentary. Like I say, that verse and the interpretation and the words kind of threw me a little bit, so I had to do some digging. And this I copied from Matthew Henry. He's an old-time preacher and Bible commentary man, so his language was similar to what the King James is. But it says, What must we commit to Christ? And he answers that the salvation of our souls and their preservation to the heavenly kingdom. And what we so commit to Him, He will keep. Then he goes on, there's a day coming when our souls will be inquired after. Man, woman, thou hast a soul committed to thee. What hast thou done with it? To whom it was offered? To whom was it offered? To God or to Satan? How was it employed? In the service of sin or in the service of Christ? There's a day coming, and it will be very solemn and an awful day, when we must give an account for our stewardship, give an account of our souls. Now, if by an active, obedient faith we commit it to Christ Jesus, we may be sure He is able to keep it, and it shall be forthcoming in our comfort in that day. Committed it to Christ, we commit ourselves to the Savior, we commit ourselves to the Lord, fully and truly accepting Him. Paul was ready to go meet the Lord. He had no regrets. I have to ask the question to myself and everybody else, are we ready? Are we confident? Are we sure? And if we're sure about our own salvation, what about our family? What about our friends? Hell is a real place. And the Lord wants us, expects us to do all that we can to keep people out, to share the good news, to share the truth that Jesus is Lord. Salvation is by faith. Salvation is by grace. And one parting thought that we can have is really our memory verse for the day. Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. As we commit everything to the Lord, we can have this comfort and this peace. Whatever may happen, whatever we may have to endure, whatever hardship we have, whatever embarrassment we have sharing the gospel, whatever supposedly friends we may have offended, it doesn't really matter. All that matters is our soul is right with God, and we've committed it to Him. And we try to share that hope with others so that they too can have eternal life. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much that You are able to keep that which we commit to You, our life, our soul, our eternal destiny, is safe in Your hands, Lord. Thank You, Savior. Thank You, Lord. We'll close with the song, Standing on the Promises, verses 1 and 5.